This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
All right, now this story is making the rounds in a big way. In a speech this morning outside the PMO, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir raised the alarm with this.
Kewangan negara umpamanya sudah dicabul. Dengan begitu besar sehingga sekarang ini kita menghadapi masalah penyelesaian hutang yang sudah meningkat kepada trilion ringgit. Ini tidak pernah dilakukan oleh kita. Dahulu kalau kita ada hutang jumlahnya tidak lebih daripada 300 bilion ringgit. Tetapi sekarang sudah meningkat lebih daripada 1 trilion ringgit.
Yes, you heard that correct. According to Tun Dr. Mahathir, Malaysia's national debt stands at around 1 trillion ringgit.
Yep, I mean, that's a staggering amount. And of course, a lot of concern over, you know, how are we going to plug the holes, right? Where is that money going to come from? I think on fiscal policies, you know, we do know so far the new government has said essentially that I think GST is going to be zero rated from the 1st of June.
That's right.
It's going to be replaced with the reinstated sales and service tax. They've also promised to reintroduce fuel subsidies. You know, but with all of this, you know, like I said a little earlier, I think just for man on the street, it's a little bit difficult to understand where where the money is gone, and two, where is it going to come from?
Yes, so across the campaign period, the Pakatan Harapan party was preaching the idea that if the leaks were plugged, then therefore none of these things like GST would be necessary, right?
Yep.
And so you could do away with your toll roads and you can do away with your GST and you can give back petrol subsidies and all this stuff, which the government of the day, Najib Razak's government, was saying, no, this is a pipe dream. There is no way this can be a reality, right?
Yep, that's right. So like you said, I think some analysts have come out to say that zero-rated GST notwithstanding, given the aggressive approach the government has taken so far, you know, spending efficiency, savings from wastage could surprise on the upside.
All right. So now Caroline and I are not going to break this down for you. Instead, we are actually going to an actual honest-to-God economist, yes. Ali Salman. He's the CEO of IDEAS. That's the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs. Thank you so much for joining us on the Evening Edition, Ali. Could you help explain how the Prime Minister arrived at this figure of 1 trillion ringgit?
We normally have to follow the numbers quoted by the central bank on macroeconomic data, including debt services. So honestly, I cannot comment on the number provided by the Prime Minister, Tun Mahathir, but based on the official data, the total debt to GDP is about 55%, which makes it roughly 645 billion ringgit of total debt. So it is significantly short of what Prime Minister has stated. But I'm not privy to latest update, just referring to the published data.
Right. So I guess help us understand this, if you could. If our total debt, based on official data, is 645 billion, where do you think the other almost 400 billion ringgit is?
I think this, you know, we can only comment once we see the details and the background of it. We understand that there have been institutional loopholes in the country, and we understand that there are significant challenges which the government faces right now in terms of fixing these institutions. So we should wait still to get more details on these gaps. But one key aspect of where the government might be looking to fix is actually GLCs. You know, there are hundreds and thousands of GLCs which the government has been supporting. And that is an avenue of expenditure which the government needs to fix very soon.
All right. So how do we start making sense of this 1 trillion ringgit debt? It sounds like a pretty frightening figure.
Well, first of all, the debt has to be seen not as a total stock, but debt has to be seen in the context of the annual debt repayment. This is a misunderstanding to quote the total debt figure as if the Malaysian government has to pay the entire debt in one go. The government allocate a particular portion of the budget in repayments, Right now, in the current budget, this repayment is 11% of the total budget, which is about 30 billion ringgit. According to the international standards, as long as the spending, the debt repayment remains less than 30% of annual budget allocation, the debt scenario is very sustainable. And also at 55% of GDP, I do not think that Malaysian debt scenario is alarming. It's manageable, it's controllable, and the government needs to introduce certainly measures to improve the governance and to reduce the role of the government in the economy to improve the situation.
Well, okay. I mean, that's a bit of a relief, because when you look at the 1 trillion figure, it is pretty alarming. So you're saying our country's economy isn't on the brink of collapse because of this debt that we're facing then?
No, I do not think so. As I said, the economy in terms of the debt management is sustainable. Also, the another measure which economists often use is the rate of growth of debt should be less than the GDP growth rate, which is again the case, that the Malaysian economy has been boasting a reasonable economic growth rate figures in last few years above 5%, which is sufficient to cover the growth of the debt which the Malaysian's economy or government has been incurring for mainly infrastructure projects.
And Ali, just a quick digression, because I think this question will help us contextualize what's happening here too. What kind of economy did the Pakatan government inherit from the previous one?
Tun Mahathir government has inherited an economy which in terms of the fiscal management was doing reasonably well. As we have seen that over the last few years, the government was actually able to reduce its fiscal deficit to less than 3% of GDP, which is quite appreciable. Now, the question is how to improve it further. The direction and the goal of the government should really be balanced budget, which means that this deficit should further go down, which can only happen in two ways. You reduce your expenditures, especially current expenditure, and secondly, you increase the sources of revenue. However, given the commitment which the government has already fulfilled in terms of bringing the GST to zero rate, there are challenges in revenue enhancement. And therefore, we must actually focus on reducing the expenditures, and that may require a sort of a supplementary budget in the remaining part of the fiscal year to enable the government to meet the revenue shortfalls.
Right. So I guess the new government, you could say, has actually inherited a relatively good economy with a good reduction in its fiscal deficit and sustainable debt management overall. So it looks like we're not doing too badly. And now it seems like this 1 trillion debt issue might have been blown a little bit out of proportion. I mean, what do you think was the point the Prime Minister was trying to make by painting the debt issue in this fashion?
I think one of the core issue which Tun Mahathir and the Pakatan Arab Alliance fought in elections was corruption. There are huge scandals like 1MDB, which have tainted Malaysian reputation in the world, which has also taken on public money and invested in irresponsible manner in other countries, which also means incur debt. This might not have affected the overall debt scenario in a significant manner, but still, as in one institution, as a government-owned enterprise, it is quite significant. So I understand that by referring to huge debt level, Tun is referring to radical reforms which are indeed needed to fix such institutions and to make sure that transparency and accountability are truly manifested in the new government.
Right. So, Ali, besides 1MDB, where else can institutional reforms begin?
Yes, for instance, we have seen that in the past, the Prime Minister office itself was responsible for spending a considerable part of the budget, which in a parliamentarian system is not very desirable. That needs to be fixed, and the size of the Prime Minister office needs to be reduced. And the second source is the state-owned enterprises, the GLCs, which needs to be reformed or privatized thus cutting back the expenditures on maintaining them.
Right. And part of institutional reforms is, you know, the separation of who holds the posts of Prime Minister and Finance Minister. So this new government has done so, I think, for the first time since Dato' Sri Abdullah Ahmad Badawi's administration in 2003, right?
Right. And is this a good step towards institutional reforms? What do you think?
This is, again, partly a fulfillment of PH Manifesto. And this is a historical correction which has been made. This is a welcome step. And we expect that this will help in further professionalization of the financial and the fiscal policy management. Ultimately, the budgets and the financial matters is not a call of either the Prime Minister or the Finance Minister. It is a call of the Cabinet. And ideally, it is a call of the Parliament. And therefore, we should look up to the Cabinet which is being formed to take these measures jointly. And therefore, I think that the separation between the Prime Minister office and the Finance Minister office will not have a negative effect. It can actually contribute to institutional reforms.
All right, Ali, thank you so much for explaining all of that to us. That was economist Ali Salman, the CEO of Ideas on Malaysia's 1 trillion ringgit debt.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.